What's up, everyone? I hope you're doing fantastic on this Thursday, January 20th. This is Rafael Garcia here with my co-host Riley. Everybody say hello for episode 105 of the Let's Talk Wrestling podcast. I thank you all for taking the time to join me tonight. It's actually 106, not 105. I was wrong. But thank you for taking the time to join me tonight or whenever you listen to this show. You can always catch us across multiple channels, including MMAratingsnet.com. That's our flagship, and that's where you'll find everything that we do, including the podcast that I take with Shuan on Wednesdays to talk all things MMA. Check out our episode 228 from yesterday, where we do a preview of UFC 270 that is this weekend. We talk a little bit about boxing, and you can also see me completely forget that there was a UFC card this past Saturday. So all of that and more went down last night. You can check out our show and give us a like, share, and everything there. But before that, you can also check us out on other podcasting platforms, including but not limited to Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and Spotify. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, MMA Ratings, to see more of our content and myself. You can hit me at rgarcia_sports across all platforms, where I'm talking everything from MMA, pro wrestling, bodega cats, and everything in between. So thank you, as always, for taking some time to check us out tonight. I'll probably be going for about 30 minutes or so, talking about some of the things from professional wrestling this past week. This might be the earliest I've actually been able to tape an episode of this podcast because your boy had to work late tonight and I didn't get to go train. So, you know, there's like a good and bad side to that. It was like a double-edged sword, as some people may say. So I'm home a little bit earlier than usual, and we're going to go ahead and take this podcast now. And let's get this out the way because there's quite a bit to talk about. We're going to start with WWE first, and I want to begin with the budding story of Mustafa Ali versus the WWE. So let's hop into that first. As you all know, Mustafa Ali is a beloved member of the WWE roster, joined in 2016 as an alternate for the Cruiserweight Classic. But when one of the wrestlers from Brazil, I believe, had visa issues, they slid in Ali in that position. He is Muslim American from Chicago, where he was but he was a former Chicago police officer, and he has so many different stories to tell just within his life, within itself. He's a great in-ring performer as well. We've seen him get some spotlights, but never what we all kind of thought he should get, never what his talent kind of equated to. But big news this week when it comes to Ali, because he has requested his release from the WWE. I first saw it on Twitter on Monday, I think right at the end of Monday Night Raw, when he made it very public. He posted a video where he said that he is requesting his release. And that statement is as follows. Let me go ahead and read that. I have a message that is bigger than my dreams in pro wrestling. Despite my best efforts, I will not be able to deliver this message while working with the WWE. Therefore, I am requesting my release from the WWE. That is his statement that was on Twitter on Monday. It's still up there. I just saw it again today. And this came from a number of different things, but perhaps the biggest was reported by Sean Ross Sapp over at Fightful as well, where he reported that him being Ali and Vince McMahon had a falling out of sorts. And according to the report, Ali was approved to do like a New America gimmick where he was basically shining the light on America and his bigotry, which is one of the stories that he probably has to tell. There were some videos taped. I remember seeing a segment of that maybe on social media or at least on WWE, but that was changed. And according to the report, Vince McMahon pitched something that Mustafa Ali would never have done. So people can speculate about that all they want to, but it was a recommendation or a gimmick that Ali would never do. So he was taken off of television. He requested, I think, some time off to miss one show for paternity leave. But he was last seen on TV back in October on SmackDown, losing to Drew McIntyre. So fast forward to January, and the young man has requested his release from the WWE. Now, on top of that, today, Thursday, news came out that the WWE will not be granting his release. And this is setting a lot of people off because we are in a point where WWE has released more than 100 wrestlers and personnel from their organization since COVID-19 began in 2020, 2 years ago. So once the global pandemic and the lockdowns kind of kicked off, we have seen a number of people get released: Karrion Kross, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Tegan Knox, Ruby Soho, Gianna Perrazzo, so many, Frankie Monet, John Morrison, so many different names of people get released from their contracts, and they're always cited as budget cuts. So the question is, why do you keep someone around who doesn't want to be in the promotion when you're firing others, letting them go, citing budget cuts? Toni Storm just asked to be released from her contract back in December, and they let her walk. So, according to Sean Ross Sapp's report today, there were conversations where, like, the term value and other thoughts were thrown around. And it's clear to me, and it's clear to a bunch of other people, that WWE knows Mustafa Ali is a star in the making. They know he can make a promotion a lot of money somewhere, and they don't want him to sign, especially with AEW. Could you imagine living in a world where Mustafa Ali got to work with Malakai Black, got to work with Sammy Guevara, got to work with Andrade, got to work with MJF, CM Punk, so many different other names, and they don't want to see that because that would be another name that would draw eyeballs away from their product onto the competitor. I mean, so many different people. Having worked with Ricky Starks, I think I said MJF already. Having worked with who else? So many different names on that AEW roster that he could possibly work with. I'm just drawing a blank right now. That would be television. That would stop wrestling fans in their tracks and get them to want to see more AEW content. They know he's a star somewhere. So instead of letting him go, they're going to probably try to wait him out because he has some time left on his contract. This is something similar that happened with Neville when he took his ball and went home, and he was off TV for, I think it was probably about 10 months, almost a year before his contract ran out and he was able to walk. And I guess, I mean, sometimes you just got to draw the line where enough is enough, and you can own. They've proven that they have no intention on leveraging him in any particular fashion, any effective fashion. They've made it clear. And they've kept him off the television for 3, 4 months now. And even when he was on television, he wasn't getting the spotlight that we really knew that he could get. Go back and watch his matches with Buddy Murphy for the Cruiserweight title. He was putting on some of the best matches in WWE at that time. I dare you to go back and look at those matches and think that this guy can't hang with some of the best performers in the world today. And he's been showing off on social media, posting training videos. And the dude can do so many innovative things. As you watch these training videos, you're like, yo, why don't you want him doing this on television? The man can elevate his character. He can do so much. And they're just like, no, we're good. Think about any other professional sport in the world that would have a star player in the making and say, you know what, we'd rather lose than let this guy shine. So we're going to keep him on the bench and just kind of wait him out. That's what WWE is doing. And any other organization in the world will be shunned for that. And the WWE should kind of be slapped on the wrist as well, too, or slapped in the head, like my mom used to do me back in the day. People are trying to claim that Ali is too small and this, that, other man. Shut the fuck up with that shit. Yeah, he isn't the biggest guy. I mean, how big? Let me see what Mustafa Ali is booked as. So Ali, according to Cage Match, he's 35 years old, so he's not a spring chicken, but he's 5'10", 172. So he's like 4 inches taller than me, about the same weight. So he's not a super small guy. I mean, hell, he's probably bigger than Adam Cole. Let me see. Adam Cole's Cage Match, and these are all media guide heights, but Adam Cole is 5'11", 202 pounds. Maybe. That might be a media guide height. How big is Johnny Gargano? Let's see. Johnny Gargano is, according to Cage Match as well, 5'10", 198. So, I'm kind of not too sure about those media guy heights and weights, but, it is what it is. Mustafa Ali is not too small to be a star. The dude can work. If you could cheer for Darby Allin, if you could cheer for Sammy Guevara, Ricky Starks, you could cheer for Mustafa Ali too. The dude does everything right as a professional wrestler, and it's so upsetting that they've decided to treat him like this. And it'll be interesting to see what type of pressure. I doubt anyone will put any type of pressure on him social media wise. WWE seems to do things out of spite what people ask for on social media when it comes to their product. So let's see how this really plays out. But I would love to see him get an opportunity to perform at the level that we all know he can perform. So last week on this show, I was talking about my excitement for Walter coming over to North America, and I gotta kind of recant that, because come over he did. Him and Roderick Strong put on a hell of a match at WWE NXT on Tuesday of this week. Great match. If you missed it, go back and watch it. If you're going to catch a match this week, definitely catch that main event. But that is it, the talking point out of WWE NXT this week. As always, WWE has to, they're like, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Frank Grimes episode of The Simpsons, where basically this guy kills himself because he is having a mental break and he just grabs some electricity, electric cords, because he thinks he can touch anything just because he can. That's WWE. They always want to touch stuff that they don't have any business touching. So Walter and Strong have a great match. And right before a big brawl breaks out between Diamond Mind and Imperium, Walter introduces himself as Gunther. Okay, whatever, a name change. But there's so many different levels to this. First and foremost, WWE trademarked the name Gunther Stark. Now today, or the 20th, well, today's the 20th, the 19th, a news story came out that WWE has actually pulled that trademark on Gunther Stark back. The reason being is because that name is the same name. It is an individual who was a Nazi soldier. He used to command U-boats in Hitler's army. And having a professional wrestler on your roster linked to a Nazi probably isn't a good look. His name is, the change his name from that to Gunther is just a bad look. And then on top of that, okay, you want to say maybe they didn't know when they made the change. Okay, no problem. Maybe they didn't know. But after the backlash that came across social media, they can't keep going. They stop what they're doing and they do not make any changes. But they still changed his name from Walter to Gunther. And you have to ask why. You understand that they changed individuals' names when they come into the company from an outside promotion, but they don't always have to do that. They didn't do it with Ricochet. They did do it with Adam Cole. They did do it with Samoa Joe. There's so many different individuals they didn't do that with. But, and actually, not only they didn't do that with Walter, because Walter's been there and he's been performing. And he was on Survivor Series back in 2019. Are people just going to forget that he was named Walter? He held the NXT UK title for 870 days. Under the name of Walter. So does none of that matter? Why would you wipe out that legacy? Yeah, Walter is going to be the same big dude that's chopping the hell out of people, powerbombing people left and right, just beating people up. I'm going to watch him wrestle. But why do you make a change like that that is unnecessary? It's like what they did with the Viking Raiders when they brought them up to the main roster. They changed their name from, well, they changed their name from War Machine to the War Raiders when they came into NXT. When they came up to the main roster, they changed their name to the Viking Experience. What, like, is this a ride at Disney World or something like that? And people rebuffed that name so much that they changed it to the Viking Raiders. Okay, a little bit better, but still, why do you need to change it? Why do you need to change, like, they changed it because the term war, I guess, was too demonstrative for their PG-13 or PG show, whatever the heck it's called, whatever it's rated now. But these are the types of changes that just are not needed. And again, like I said, they're like a child who wants to touch stuff that they don't need to be touching. Will this have long-term implications? No, but I think that this is just stupidness. And like I said, Walter and Strong had an excellent match. That should be the talking point coming out of the show on Tuesday. But instead, we're talking about this foolishness and forgetting that those two guys put on an early candidate for WWE match of the year. They just don't need to do this type of stuff. And piling on top of that, of them not needing to do certain things, you have to start wondering when they're going to get away from these characters that are based thoroughly in stereotypes. Now, pieces of your culture and ethnicity can be a part of your character, but your culture and your ethnicity shouldn't be your whole character. I want to make sure that those two lines are delineated when having this conversation. I'm going to use Roman Reigns and the Usos as an example. A big portion of their Samoan heritage and their culture is tied into their characters that you see with them on television every week. However, that is not their entire character. For a while, it was there with the Usos when they came out and they did the haka all the time. Like, that was like their character. But now it's just pieces of their culture make them into the characters they are today. Not that their characters are based specifically on their culture. So if you look at what's happening in NXT, there are so many different individuals, and even a little bit on the main roster, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you look at what's happening in NXT, so many of the characters are based on characters wrapped up in their culture. Dante Chin, the two Veronica Rose and the other woman she's teaming with, Saraya's new character, you got to kind of raise an eyebrow to that. I brought up Xia Li on the main roster. Apollo Crews is another example of it as well, too. Just because someone has a diverse ethnic background, that does not need to be what their character is entirely based in. I plan on writing about this for Daily DDT at some point, probably over the weekend when I can find some more time. But this is what they go to when developing characters. They don't know how to develop multi-layered characters who aren't wrapped up in a stereotype. They just don't. That's why when you see characters that are successful in WWE, it's often ones that don't have anything to do with the creative process that they have, the New Day. They wanted to present them something totally fashion than they are, something in a fashion that's totally different than where they are today. They built that. The Rock and Stone Cold, WWE Creative didn't give us them. They gave us Rocky Maivia and the Ringmaster, Frosty Freeze, or whatever his name was going to be, or those other different types of gimmicks that they were trying to throw his way. Like, they wanted to cancel the man, Becky Lynch, basically, and make her into something else, but she pushed back on that too. Look what they did with The Fiend and with Alexa Bliss. The minute they get their hands on a character, they ruin it. And it's even worse when they take an individual's culture and ethnicity and says, this is your character. Because you're from Japan, this is your character. Because you're from China, this is your character. Because you're from Nigeria, this is your character. And it just doesn't work like that. And it's getting, NXT is becoming, I mean, it's, since this revamp, it's been a shell of itself. It's been a parody of what we saw years ago, but it's getting really bad. It's becoming more and more unwatchable on a week-to-week basis. And I mean, I'm usually not home to catch all of it. I catch what I can when I get back home from the gym on Tuesday evenings. But if this path continues up, it's definitely not going to be appointment viewing. I don't care what I'm doing on a Tuesday. So let's move over to talk about AEW. And Jon Moxley had a huge return at AEW Dynamite, which was right down the street from me. I didn't go to the show. I couldn't afford to go to Sam. But Jon Moxley had a huge, huge return. Fans were super happy to see him. This is his first time back in 3 months after admitting himself to a rehab program. So, I mean, everything he said was fantastic. He talked about battling his inner demons. Whoever that jackass was that yelled at and that got kicked out, I don't know why you spend your money to waste. I don't know why you spend your money to get embarrassed on national television. That clip is never going to go away, and to get thrown out. Why do you do that? I mean, people are so weird in the wrestling industry, and that's another moment of that. But Moxley has some very powerful words to say. I'm glad they didn't have anyone run out or anyone interrupt him or anything like that. They let him say his piece and go about his way. He is battling Ethan Page on, I think it's on, it might be on Rampage this weekend, but or tomorrow, Friday. But it was good to see him back. I'm interested in seeing where he goes from here. They were turning him heel before he went away. I think that's kind of the direction he was going in, like back to that dark shade of gray, rather than being cheered all the time. So I'm wondering if that's the direction that they keep going with him. But they got a big name back on Saturday, I think or Wednesday. The show did a more than a million. I think it was like 1.05 is what I saw as of tonight. But Moxley's a huge star, and I'm glad to see him back in better health. So that was one. That's probably the biggest story from Dynamite this week. Because the show, in my opinion, wasn't that good beyond that. And what's interesting is the shows haven't been strong from this is the talent that we have on television every week since Kenny Omega's been gone. But they've still been doing enough to get people to come back. Like, they haven't seen an immense drop off in ratings. I mean, we haven't seen. Well, we didn't see Bryan Danielson this week. When did he lose? I think he lost to Hangman last week. So, we didn't see him this week. We haven't seen Kenny Omega. We haven't seen Pac. We haven't seen Miro. And he's hurt as well, too. We haven't seen, I mean, there's been multiple people we have seen. We still have CM Punk there. We still have MJF. Jericho's still there. So there's still enough weight. I mean, this was another episode without the Young Bucks on it. They weren't even in any segments or anything like that, from what I remember. So they're flexing their power without having to put their A team out there, the complete A team at least. And that's good news for them. So this was a good show and moved some things along. There's still some things I don't want to see. Like, why? We're going to be talking about Lance Archer in a second. But why is Dan Lambert with him? I think it's stupid. But I mean, I think everything Dan Lambert is in is stupid. But Moxley had a huge return. And speaking of Lambert, as I mentioned, he's with Lance Archer now. So Lance Archer, as of last week, he attacked Adam Hangman Page, and now he is seemingly the number one contender for the title. Now, I have some thoughts about this because I get why Lance is the number one contender. You need someone who, or why he's the first challenger for Hangman. You need someone that Hangman can dominate as a champion and get a clean victory over. You don't want to put him in a feud right out the gate where people are like, should he win or should he not? Because you don't want to put him up against Adam Cole, who's the number one contender, immediately. Because you may come up with a viable reason for him to lose the title and drop the belt to Cole. So you put him in some, put him up against someone who we know he needs to beat. We saw this with Britt Baker. Like, we knew she was going to beat Tay Conti. We knew she was going to beat Chris Statlander. The Ruby Soho one had me kind of like looking back and forth, like what's going to go on there. We knew she was going to beat Red Velvet. So we see the writing on the wall for a lot of AEW feuds, and this is one of them. But my thoughts around this is like I have two actually. The first is there's so many other guys that they could have gone to. We haven't seen Vance as a dominant force in a while now, and he's already been in the title picture. I think when he came in, him and he was battling Moxley for the belt right out the gate. So why is he automatically slid back into that position? They could have did this with Powerhouse Hobbs. They could have had a situation where he is the first guy, him with Team Taz, they're the first guys to want to take the belt from Paige. And you can say, oh, well, Team Taz is feuding with Dante Martin. You could be feuding with multiple people. At the end of the day, your goal is to be the champion. So you could be having back and forth battles with Paige while dealing with this over here. I mean, it's a scripted show. They can script it any way that they want to. They could have went with Paige. They could have went with Scorpio Sky or Ethan Page. Excuse me. They could have went with Hobbs. They could have went with Scorpio Sky or Ethan Page as well, too. Like, I don't like the idea of Ethan Page being the first person to face John Moxley, because why are they giving Page another loss? He's not going to beat Moxley. Excuse me. And he just lost the Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. So why are you going to give him another loss? Are you, then are you going to throw Scorpio there again too as well? And that's why people are so frustrated by that pairing, because these are two guys who can be main event placements if they were booked in such a way, but they're just not. So the Lance Archer piece, I get why he is the top contender. I get that. I understand what they're going for, and I understand that they're building towards a feud that Paige will undoubtedly win. I just wish that it wasn't him right now. I wish that there was someone else, someone new that people have been asking to see for such a long time. Ricky Starks, but he's also battling with Dante Martin and the crew. But there's so many different people that they could have put in that position there. Then on the flip side of that, if Hangman Page and Lance Archer are still battling when AEW Revolution comes around, I think that's next month. Let me see. Revolution this year is scheduled for March 6th in 2022 in Orlando. If Hangman and Archer are still fighting and still competing for the belt in March, I doubt they will. That's much farther than I thought it would be. There's no reason that the women could not headline the show. If you were to pair, my next topic is about this, but if you were to pair Hangman and Lance Archer and compare that to the interest that would be there for a Britt Baker Thunder Rosa feud, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa would blow that out the water. Those women, people have been wanting to see that feud since the day Britt won the title, because the last person to beat Britt, I believe, the last person to beat her was Thunder when she beat her in that Lights Out match last year. Since the women are 1-1 against each other in singles matches, you have Britt Baker, who's stupid over in AEW, deservingly so. Then you have Thunder Rosa, who's over in AEW and everywhere else that she goes. She's the hardest working woman in the business, without a doubt. So they have an opportunity to build to something big between those women. People are pushing AEW to do better when it comes to their women's division, how they're booked on television, how they're not booked on television. The fact that I looked up the data the other day, I think less than 12% of their main card matches on pay-per-views are women. Let me pull that number up, see if I can find it real quick, because I was looking at this data. Let me see. Sorry for the dead air, folks. Let me see. So I looked at this past week. And yep, 12% of all matches for all AEW pay-per-views to date are women's matches. 15 of 121. And then it's 26 total women's matches on these cards. That includes like battle royals and all that. And that's 21% of total pay-per-view matches. So that tells you that it's rather low. And people want to see more than that. They want to see that look like a much more favorable split between the two. And there needs to come to a point where the women are headlining a showcase. This is the opportunity to get them there. Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa is a main event level feud in any promotion. Period. Full stop. We saw what those ladies did back in the unsanctioned match. You put them in a cage or something like that, they're gonna fucking go bonkers. They don't even need all that. They could just put them in a regular one-on-one standard match and they would still kill it. So like I was saying, if Lance Archer and Adam Hangman Page is booked out for an extended period of time and that's what they go to for a pay-per-view, then Baker versus Rosa needs to be the main event of that same night. I think that's the only way to make that show viable. It's almost like I was talking about last night with Schwan about the value of UFC pay-per-view cards, not at the money, at the amount that the costs are going up. Archer versus Paige is not a main event showcase on a pay-per-view. Baker versus Rosa is. Make the right decision if it comes to that point. So with that in mind, that's everything for the show this week. Like I said, we're going to go about in half an hour, and we did that. There's a lot of things going on in AEW, WWE, and across other promotions, so feel free to stick to my Twitter feed where I talk about all that. Stick to Daily DDT, where all my content goes. I'm also a co-site editor there, so I do a lot of work for that platform. As always, you can find me at rgarcia_sports on Instagram and Twitter. I thank you everyone for your time. Stay safe. Enjoy your rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. And yeah, have a good one, everybody.